Hello, my fellow deviants. It's time yet again for another episode of A Beer with Friends. We hope you're enjoying the show, and if you are, remember to like and follow us on Spotify, Anchor FM, Facebook, Instagram, and more for your regular updates about the show, as well as streaming for all your little listening needs. Now it's time for the final part of the Ryan Moss experience. If you couldn't tell, this has been an amazing episode, and don't worry, Ryan will be back for more. We have had one hell of a time and look forward to entertaining you for some time to come. So sit back, grab your drinks, and listen to the final part of the first episode with Ryan Moss. All right, here we are back again for another part of the Ryan Moss experience. And you know, I wanted to point that out. I have literally thought the spelling of your name was M-A-S-S. And it's not. It's M-A-A-S.
Everyone does.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. That's my bad.
I don't know.
You know what's funny is, okay, because of my position, I have you in a lot of documents. Mm-hmm. I think it's all M-A-S-S. I have to change a lot of shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a lot of editing you have to do on your part. But
yeah, that's all right. It's worth it. I mean, I'm glad I know, though. Yeah, no, you don't be envious. Yeah, but right. I guess that was just my... I think it's because I told you my friend, his is M-A-S-S.
Yeah.
Michael Mass.
Yeah.
So now I understand more. I think I can get... differentiate more the Moss versus Mass.
Yeah, and definitely sounding out does if you were to say my name, which is spelled M-A-A-S, is Moss.
Moss.
And that's how.
And you emphasize the A, like Moss.
Yeah,
Moss. Yeah. Which is a cool name. Do you know the origins of it?
So it's Dutch. It comes from my...
That is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I'm half Danish, half Irish.
Nice. Yeah, so I do.
Kindred spirits.
Yeah, exactly. Except my sister and I took a 23andMe test, which we came out as Scandinavian, biologically.
You know what Scandinavian is? Is Norwegian, Danish, Dutch, and Finnish and
Welsh,
Swedish.
Part of a
Swedish. No.
Okay.
Welsh, England, Scotland, or Britons, and then Ireland is Irish or Danish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Well,
so, yeah, you're something. Still kindred spirits.
Important
yeah.
thing is never stop learning.
No.
So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think my dad gets on kicks. Mm. And we were Irish our whole lives growing up because we're Doyles, right? And so I got really big into history. Well, he goes on kicks where he meets a new friend and he wants to be like them, right? So he got really close with my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, mm-hmm. and he's Scottish. And he's super into his heritage. He can go back in his family line. He has family in Scotland. And my dad's like, you know Doyle's Scottish. And I was like, the fuck it is, bro. He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, the fuck it is. I was like, I've actually done the ancestry. I've actually looked into our family history. I know the coat of arms. He's like, I got the coat of arms tattooed on me. I was like, that's an Irish coat of arms. We're not Scottish. And a lot of people look at it and it's like, well, what's, you know, the difference and stuff. A lot of Irish people, they don't necessarily like the Scottish people because the Scottish people surrendered to the English, whereas the Irish people never surrendered. So mm-hmm. Irish people hate being referred to as Scottish. And I don't want to like belittle any Scottish people or Scotsmen, Scotswomen, but that's the way Irish genealogy from what I've learned actually sounds like or looks like, you know, that's the way they feel. Whether they and Scottish people, I think they had more of a oppressive government when it came to the English because they were so close to England and they shared a land with them, whereas Irish were a sea away, so they could fight more. Of course, Ireland gave up Northern Ireland and still, you know, it's a big sore spot for a lot of people, but that's why you don't ever call an Irishman a Scotsman, and that's why you don't ever call a Scotsman an Irishman. And when my dad was like, oh, we're Scottish, I was like, the fuck we are, bro. I've looked at that shit. We are fucking Irish and Danish, bitch.
Yeah. Let me ask, because you told me you off this podcast, you told me that you love to cook.
Oh, I love to cook.
Are there any sort of dishes that kind of lean towards like Irish or
you know what's
roots that
it is cooking? It is when it comes to a traditional an American thinks Irish cook, which is funny. You've heard of corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an Irish meal for St. Paddy's Day. The thing is Irish people don't cook that. Mm-hmm. They've never heard of it. They're like, what the fuck is that? So it's funny because I love to cook that. That's one of my favorite meals. And we cook it for St. Paddy's Day and I love it. But it's not an Irish meal. I didn't know that. They don't eat a lot of beef. They eat a lot of lamb, chicken, pork. Beef is not a big thing. They're an island. They're like, where the fuck are we going to raise cows? You know? So cows are a luxury for the rich people. So it took me a while to learn that. But I did realize that Irish people, and I think this is where the whole potato head thing comes from, is they eat a lot of potatoes. So I started learning a lot about where what kinds of potato stuff they do and a lot of sandwiches, which I didn't know. They do sandwiches a lot different than we do. Like, it's a hamburger helper macaroni kind of thing. It's like,
I've had that a long time ago.
Imagine hamburger helper macaroni in a sandwich. That's a big Irish thing. They love it. That's what I threw up that night. If you guys haven't listened to the last podcast, I think that was one of our first or seconds when I was talking about the Irish pub crawl and I threw up all in my car. Yeah, that was that poor boy.
Yeah.
That poor boy.
It was, you know what's kind of funny is that speaking of sandwiches, which I didn't know exactly where you're going with that, but I talked with Zoe, our coworker.
Yeah, yeah.
She's from the East Coast and... A lot which of people,
I lived on the East Coast for a long time.
Yeah, which you're probably very familiar with. But a lot of people from the East Coast don't like our sandwiches here in the West Coast.
Not at all.
Yeah, no, because it's almost like we slap meat and cheese inside of bread and call it a sandwich. While there, it's more of an art to it.
Yeah, they want... It's more of a
delicacy.
In the East Coast, they want their lettuce, tomatoes, bell pepper. And that's where I get... Yeah, every time I order a sandwich, I want lettuce, tomatoes, bell peppers, pickles, onions.
Yeah.
I want the olive oil, the vinegar. I want the pepper. It is. It's an art form over there. Yeah,
it's like the ratio. It's arranged.
Over here, slap some fucking meat and cheese and some bread, and that's a sandwich.
We call it a sandwich. That's a sandwich. Which is not the proper thing to do.
And I still eat those because I'm from the West Coast. I still do. I mean, we'll get lunch meat and stuff.
Yeah.
And Maddie and me will go in there and I'll want a sandwich and it's just meat, cheese, and fucking mayonnaise or mustard and bread. And I'm like, where's the goods?
Like you know, I
live in the West Coast or the East Coast.
I enjoy the idea of sushi.
Oh God, yeah.
Which I is love something sushi. If you were to go on like the Midwest or if you were to go like some place like Chicago, that's probably the least appetizing thing.
And one well not only that, you go to a lot of the East Coast and they don't eat that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's the West Coast because we're more closer to the Orient, like China, Japan, Indonesia. They eat a lot of that. We're closer to that. And because we had a huge Oriental population, especially in San Francisco and stuff, especially during the really early years of America where we had a large influx of Oriental people here, that became part of our life, you know, that became part of who we were, that became part of our identity.
Yeah,
so we're good with that. But you go to I'm not going to say all East Coast. New York, I'm sure they have sushi a lot and a lot of more populated places, but you get to like Florida, Georgia. I remember going to Georgia. I was in a band in Georgia. And I remember being in a
plane.
Plane. Like, oh yeah, I was a singer. I was a singer. Oh, yeah, singer. Okay, and guitarist. Cool. But we traveled a lot and I had deep Southern Georgian band members and we would go to like cities and stuff and want to play music. And I'd be like, yo, dude, I'm going to go get some sushi. And they'd be like, what the fuck is that? And I'd be like, yeah, dude, you like it. And they bring it out and they'd be like, they forgot to cook this shit. I'm like, dude, what the fuck, dude? Eat it. You'll like it. They'll be like, hell no, I ain't putting that raw shit in my mouth. I'll be like, God damn. My bassist was the coolest guy ever because he was extremely cool. He was a hardcore liberal from the deep South. Like, hardcore liberal from the deep South, which is very rare.
Yeah.
And he would go, yo, dude, I'll try it. And he would eat some and he'd be like, dude, this is really good. And we tried to get our other bandmates to eat it and they'd be like, fuck, that ain't cooked.
I could imagine.
It ain't cooked. And he'd be like, yo, this is really good. And he was a very educated man. I think me and my bassist, he wrote all the music, I wrote all the lyrics. And we would put the songs together, and then the rest of the band would come up, and they would just do their parts. And when it came to, like, being a band, we always figured it was just me and him, and everybody else was just hired members. Mm-hmm. I know that's probably fucked up to say to the rest of the band members, but they really didn't contribute except what we told them to. So it was really cool because I always thought, and I know this is fucked up, and this is a very, very political move, and I'm sorry, but when it came to the band, the two people who wrote the music were extremely hardcore liberals who were on the left side, who believed in change and believed in people like Obama. And we really loved that ideals. And the people we had to tell what to do, go Trump.
Yeah.
So, sorry. And I hate that. So the people with ideas, the people who wrote and had inspiration and wanted to move forward, they're the ones who voted for Obama and stuff, and the people who had to be led, the people who hate being called sheep, by the way, mm-hmm. who had to be led, were the people who were the sheep.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucked up, but it's, I hate that analogy. I feel dirty saying it, but you know, that's the way it was.
No, I get that.
Obama was one of my favorite people in the world. Did you get to vote for Obama?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I was old enough to do so.
Do you remember when he came out with his commercials? Because
in college. It was hard to see commercials.
Well, I'm sorry. Not his campaign commercials. Okay. I'm talking about the funny ones where he did like SNL, and he would make fun of himself, and he was such a relatable dude. I hated him and loved him at the same time. Mm-hmm. I hated him because I was like, God damn it, I don't agree with anything that you do, but I can't stand your opponent, and I love who you actually are because you're a normal guy. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a guy that I would love to go have a beer with. Yeah. Of course, after one beer, you'd be like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. I don't like you anymore. You need to leave.
You can this a beer with Obama for that one exactly. episode.
Oh my God, I would love to have Obama. And the thing is I didn't like a lot of his policies and stuff. I didn't agree with 100% of what he did, but I loved him as a person because he stood up for what he believed in, and he didn't take any fucking shit. Mm-hmm. And he was just an all-around likable good guy. I loved when they were like, he's not from America. I was like, God damn, I've been trying to change that for years. You know, I would totally vote for a foreigner to get in here. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Make it. And then when they came out and they were saying Michelle Obama was a man, his name was Michael, and they're in a gay. I was like, please let that be true. Because if it was true, that would mean we were the most progressive, awesome country in the fucking world. Mm-hmm. So fucking where's the loss? You know?
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, everything that you guys are saying is bad. You're just making him look better.
Yeah.
You know? So anyways, that was my little rant on that.
No, man. It's been something that I've enjoyed listening from you more so than things that I've heard. You know, day in and day out when you listen to the news, you get the good, you get the bad. And there's actually the men, I'd say I'm the kind of person who will follow the news more so from the distance and kind of get the idea of what's going on more so from people who I see on the daily, people who mention. I've been lucky to have friends who actually mention the news and actually speak about what's going on in today's world.
I think I'm consistently the same way.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where
I'm sick of the bullshit, so I stop listening to the news.
Yeah, and one of the things that don't require so much political stance, but one of the at least more recent things that have been going on is like the tornadoes that have been going on.
You know, I just heard about those today, and I don't know how long they've been going on, but I feel kind of bad that I haven't known, but at the same time, I don't know. I mean, what do I do about it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those kind of things where a cold front from the north, warm front from the south.
Oh, yeah, so perfect situation.
And now it's here.
Is it like Kansas or something? Or Oklahoma or
Canada? No, so where it has sporadically hit certain areas in the United States, but it's definitely hit like areas like in Kentucky. Where,
Kentucky, that's what
yeah,
I was.
Yeah, Kansas, where Kentucky, yeah. Tornadoes have been hitting drastically, and we've talked about it. You and me are on TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
Your wife, my girlfriend, are on TikTok mm-hmm. as well. We've seen tons of videos of.
You know, that's something I haven't actually seen a lot of. Oh. Yeah, but I guess when it comes to the news, I think even TikTok knows that I just don't give a shit about the news because all you see is people fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I want to be up to date on what we're fighting for, I'm sick of the bullshit when it comes to fighting for a cause that you don't know what you're fighting for.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand if you're fighting for...
A blind fight.
Yeah. Exactly. You can't just blindly fight. You have to have a reason to fight. You just can't go and get on the bandwagon and say, I'm fighting this too.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be strongly supporting that fight. And you have to know why they're fighting.
And to have your own opinions yeah. about it as
and
well.
I think what sickens me the most is that these people that jump on the bandwagon and just want to fight just to fight. And that's what's causing so much turmoil to me is that you have people who don't know what they're fighting for, don't know the whole facts. They don't know anything about it, but they're going to fight tooth and nail. They're going to yell at people. They're going to scream. They're going to protest. They're going to start riots. They're going to fight. They're going to throw things. They're going to do all kinds of stuff. And yet they don't even know the cause or the situation of what they're fighting for. They don't know the root anything about it. They don't know the root cause of it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to fight for something, know what you're fighting for. Have an actual stance.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's getting me about this, just not this country, I think the world, is that so many people are wanting to fight. And I understand because everybody's angry. But let's actually have a reason to fight.
Yeah. And definitely, if you do have a stance, if you do have a fight for some specifically, have a reason or original opinion as why you're doing so exactly. rather than you're fighting for what the masses are mm-hmm. fighting for.
Because that's what I call mob mentality. Yeah. If everybody's trying to burn down a church, you know, you don't just go get involved, but most people do. Most people just go get involved because they're like, everybody else is doing it, I'm going to do it too. But why are they burning down this church? Yeah. Did they support a cause you didn't like? Did they kill somebody? Did they support an organization that was wrong? Why are you burning that church down? Or not even a church. Why are you burning the school down? Why are you burning the Capitol down? Why are you burning the state down? Why are you opposed to the governor? Why?
Yeah, and it's like almost the opposite of that, where if someone was in trouble in an alley and they're screaming for help,
exactly.
the masses don't help.
No, and that's and the thing.
The majority of people won't go towards something that's stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like it's
that's why they tell women effect. Now you don't yell rape, you yell fire.
Yeah,
because everybody wants to go look at a fire, but nobody wants to go help in a rape, and well, that's
and,
sad.
And it's disappointing. It's sad, and it's just. So, I'm going to use the word disappointing yeah. again, but it's so disappointing at the end of the day how people
It's disappointing don't, in our culture. It's disappointing in our lives that we can't yeah. stand up for what we believe without thinking that other yeah. people are...
And don't find their own reasons. Don't exactly. find their own
or thinking,
drive or information in I, order to do one what of the they
things
want to do.
Yeah, one of the things I look at TikTok is everybody's out for more followers, more likes, mm-hmm. more likes. You got girls taking off all their clothes for more likes, as much as they can. You got people doing the stupidest things, much as they can for likes. But who cares about the likes so much? Who cares about the followers? Who cares about what people think as long as you're true to yourself?
Yeah.
And with the truth to themselves, that's one of the things that I hope I'm continue to do my show is I don't want to ever bend to somebody's will. I want to continue to believe for what I believe, and I want people to come on here without thinking that they're going to be persecuted for what they believe. Like when Justin came on and he was religious, I didn't bash him for that. I didn't say you're wrong. I just let him be him, and I was me, and we had a good discussion about it. you and me are of a very similar mind when it comes to that kind of stuff. So it's cool. My next guest might be extremely hardcore religious. I'm not going to bash. It's a good conversation to have where debates get made and there's no argument or no anger. And that's what I wish we could go to, but you can't. There's too many people out there. There's too many leaders who know that they have the voices of the people where they can go, let's go do this. And everybody just follows them blindly without thinking for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, to change course.
Okay.
You have anything fun coming up? Because.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to a Bert Kreischer show in January. Oh, besides that, I'm going to California to visit my family. But yeah, going to a Bert Kreischer show. I know you haven't heard of him. You need to look him up. He's got three specials on Netflix. He's got, Bert Kreischer. Hey, Big Boy. He's got Bert Kreischer, The Machine. The Machine's the best. You need to watch that one first. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. He's a comic that I have followed literally as long as I can, as long as I've known him, which I think I've known him since before he had specials. He was, his first special was The Machine, and I knew him before his Netflix special. He is hilarious. He laughs at his own jokes as he's up there. He takes his shirt off and he's this fat boy. Not and he takes it off. Yeah. Well, he takes his shirt off because it's funny and he throws it in the audience. He's like, hey, big boy.
Yeah.
And he's hilarious.
Yeah.
And he's one of my favorite comics. Besides another comic, I'd like to mention and give a shout out to Adam Murray. He was a comic I saw in Lake City, Florida. There was probably about 50 people and he literally made me laugh so loud that they thought I was a drunk guy in the back laughing just at anything because he was so, so funny. He's also an actor. He's had a couple of small scenes. He's not super huge. I'm hoping he gets really huge. And he's actually, next time he's in Portland, he's actually going to come on the show too. But great guy. But Bert Kreischer is the next show that I'm going to. It's coming up January, I think, 14th. Nice. Which is going to be fun. It's going to be a great time. What about you? What do you got going on?
Well,
I mean, we've talked about you going, I mean, awesomest news in the world. You're going to PA school. You're leaving me. My good friend's going to be leaving me here alone in Portland. We're going to have to get him up here at least once a month to do four more episodes. But
well, before I get into that, I do want to say kind of what you mentioned about the drunk guy in the back.
That was me.
At a comedy show, yeah. I was actually at a comedy show with Grace about 3 months ago, and there was some dude that was so drunk. It was during the opening act, so wasn't even the main comedian. Yeah, laughed so hard that the table he was at, which was one of these unstable tables that's not bolted to the ground, ended up knocking forward drinks everywhere on the ground. And this dude falls with the table
off
the ground. Yeah, and this comedian's talking about, he was like, there's a lot of things you can prepare for. Like, while on stage, he's like, there's a lot of things you prepare for, but not for that.
Not for that. That's a new one.
Or a lot of things you can ignore, but not that.
That's a new one.
Yeah. This dude, it was, I hadn't seen anyone that drunk
at
a lot of events, even a club or a bar.
With Adam Murray, but I wasn't that drunk, but he was so funny to me.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
No, it was absolutely great, that show and everything. It was for D.L. Hughley, if you recognize that name or anything.
I don't, but I'm definitely going to look him up. I'm gonna write it down.
Yeah, but after that, what I'll be doing pretty soon is going to Jamaica with Grace, with my best friend and his girlfriend as well.
Oh, nice.
Which her name is Grace as well. So
that's going to be awkward.
We came up with a system of G1 and G2 we're going to go with.
Wait a minute. But who's going to be G2?
We have not discussed who's
G2. That's going to be a conversation. Who did you say? D.L. who?
D.L. Hughley. Which there's a G. Hugley, I believe. Listeners.
I'm going to definitely look him up.
I apologize. Well, anyway, we're going to Jamaica. I know we want to plan a trip to go to Vancouver, Canada as well.
That's...
If you have any recommendations of what to do or to go up there for
Vancouver, Canada is going to be one of those places that you literally can just get out and walk and it's just amazing. There's nothing you're gonna not like about that place. My favorite though is if you're gonna drive up through Blaine and get to White Rock. Mm-hmm. Absolutely gorgeous. And it's only about maybe 20, 30 minutes away from Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So if you're in Vancouver, you can fly, drive down to White Rock. You can see the big bay. Sorry, I kind of had the hiccups there for a second. But you can see the big bay that goes from White Rock. It goes all the way into Blaine, Washington. And it's like the border's right. You can actually walk, because when the tide goes out, you can walk across the bay from White Rock all the way to Blaine, or Blaine all the way to White Rock. It's such a beautiful... White Rock is one of the most beautiful... Actually, when I was working in Blaine, I told you about that when I was working as a COVID nurse. So... I lived in Blaine and worked there for a little bit, and Maddie would drive up about once a week to see me when when we had this place here. But before we found out we loved Portland so much, we actually were going to live here for a year, save up money, and we wanted to immigrate to Canada and live in White Rock. It was so beautiful. Mm. And it's really cool because if you're standing in Blaine, it's this beautiful, like, I guess pier kind of thing, but it's all grassy, and they got like statues and stuff in Blaine. You look across and you can see all the lights at night of White Rock, and there it's like a big city, but it's not. It's super small, but it's big. They got like skyscrapers, and it's so cool looking. It's just the coolest thing I've ever seen. And then when you get in there, it's just so laid back. It's so nice. So, and me and Maddie, we were wanting to move up there. I was actually looking at getting my nursing license up in Canada and going, and we were going to live in White Rock. Excuse me. But we ended up loving Portland so much, we just decided to stay here.
Nice.
But yeah, so if you guys are in Vancouver, just take, it's a 20, 30 minute trip. Drive down to White Rock and just check it out. Just at night, if you just park on the bay, you can see across and you can see all the lights, and it's just beautiful.
Nice. Yeah. Is that a certain time of the year?
No, all year long. Snow, fall, winter, summer, nice. Spring, all of it. It's a beautiful view.
Mm-hmm. Something that I've randomly gotten into, but just been something that has just been just like a peaceful enjoyment, mm-hmm. but I wish I've gotten more so instead off of videos, more so enjoyment in person off of, is like whale watching.
Oh my God, there's tons of whale watching.
Vancouver, Canada, I know there is an
absolute Blaine, ton. Washington, and White Rock, they have one of the biggest population. That's actually in Blaine. The statues I was talking about is orcas.
Yeah.
It's orca statues because they have one of the biggest orca populations of whale watching and orcas and sea lions and seals all right there in that bay between White Rock and Blaine. It's amazing. So if you guys want to do that, that's a perfect place to do it too. Kayaking galore. Oh my God, it's awesome.
I think that would be an incredible trip. And So Jamaica's plan, Vancouver, Canada would be something we're playing for. Yellowstone
National Park. That's one of my favorite places. I love Yellowstone.
And this would be a little intense, but we're thinking Grand Canyon area.
Grand Canyon is that?
At least when it comes to whitewater rafting.
Yeah, see, I've always wanted to go. Well, I tell you this. I've always wanted to go to the Colorado River and whitewater raft it. But it is a huge, and I don't know about COVID, what's happened to it since, but it's a huge waiting list to be able to whitewater raft down it. It's insane. Myself, personally, that's one place I've never been. I've been through Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Nevada, all of them. I've never been to the Grand Canyon.
I think
I want to go so bad. One thing I am taking is Maddie for in next June. We're going to Paris for a couple of days. We're going to be there for 3 days or 2 days. And then we fly to Madrid. I think around, it's either the first or second week of June. It's actually really cheap.
Nice.
But we're going to fly to Paris. We're flying from here to Paris, or here to JFK to Paris. And we're going to be there for 2 or 3 days. And then we fly. And it's only, literally, it's $58 to fly from Paris to Madrid. Mm-hmm. We're going to stay in Madrid for 2 days. Then we fly from Madrid to Lisbon for 2 days. Then we fly from Lisbon to Rome for 2 days. And then Rome back to Paris to 2 days. And each of them 2 days, it's only $58 for each flight. And then back to Paris, wow. Then we fly back to Portland. So we're going to be gone for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. Well, probably a little longer than that, 2 weeks.
It is absolutely crazy you could travel that many places and still be, what, approximately 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks. It's funny because I didn't eat. I guess this gets into the whole the way the world works thing, but Europe is not as big as people think. I mean, Europe is a huge place, but it's not a huge place. Europe is not even the size of America. I mean, the United States. So it takes 6 hours to fly from Portland to JFK. Mm-hmm. So if you're flying from Paris to Madrid, it's like 2.5-3 hours. You fly from Madrid to Lisbon, it's only like half an hour, 45 minutes. You fly from Lisbon to Rome, that's going to be your longest flight. That's like 4.5 hours. And then Rome back to Paris is going to be like 3 hours. So, I mean, it's not a lot of, but at the same time, it is, but it isn't. So, you spend a couple of days in each place, you're going to be a little jet lagged, but not a lot. Your most of your jet lag is going to be coming from America or the United States to over, you know, to Europe.
You have any specific places or specific things you want to see while you're there?
Not really. I think our biggest thing is we're going to be stopping in Paris. We're going to stay. I got the hotel and everything booked. We're just going to be literally walking around the city. We're going to go see the Eiffel Tower, go see the Louvre, go see the keychain or the secret locks mm-hmm. bridge. We're going to see that. We're just going to walk around the city for a couple of days. Have fun. And then that's the same thing. As soon as we fly from Paris to Madrid, we're going to do the exact same thing there. Fly from Madrid to Lisbon, exact same thing there. Lisbon to Rome, exact same thing there. Fly Rome back to Paris for another day. Probably chill in a little cafe for the night. Get up the next morning, go back to the airport, and fly back home. Nice. So it's more of a chill out, relax kind of thing, you know, just
chill out, relax while traveling.
While traveling in Europe. Yeah, why not? I mean, it's not like a. I know a lot of people, like, I thought about when I first decided we were going to do this trip because it was more of a Christmas present, birthday present for her. Mm. But I thought about when we were doing this, I thought there is this wine and cheese tour that they had that left Paris and went down to Bordeaux and then went from Bordeaux to Nice and then Nice up somewhere else and then somewhere else to Paris. It was super, super expensive. And I'm like, okay, we're going to do it. But then I started looking and I was like, I can rent a hotel. I can fly us there. I can fly between all these cities that are awesome. Mm-hmm. And we can walk around ourselves and just have fun. And it was like a third of the price. And I'm like, well, and then I started looking into it. The reason why they charge so much is because they hire people to come and show you things that you really don't care about. It's like, okay, I would love to go see a winery, but I can drive through the countryside and see these wineries and they're all free.
You know,
it's free wineries. You can go and taste wine, and these guys charge you to drive to the wineries, and they're charging like $500 to go drive to a winery that you can rent a car for 50, 60 euros and drive to yourself.
Yeah, that was something that Grace and I were noticing that I got advice from. It might have actually been from you, but where we're traveling in Jamaica, if we were to pay for certain excursions that they have available.
Yes, it was. We talked about that. Yeah. That
you would be paying the people who run the hotel.
To do all of that for you. To pay
the people who actually run the excursions. I might not have
told you. I think you might have told me about that.
Well, either way. Yeah. So you would pay the people who run the hotel to pay the people who run the excursions.
Yeah.
While you're on site, let's say in Jamaica, you could just pay the people who actually run the excursions. So it's just substantially cheaper.
Yeah.
Compared to the, you know, cutting better. Out the middleman.
Yeah, it's just you cut out the middleman, you do a little research yourself, you cut out the middleman, do the research, and you can do it yourself.
Yeah.
I think I told you a lot about my travels when I was traveling a lot with my friend. Mm-hmm. And we went all over the world. I mean, we for a long time when I got out of the Army, every year we would go on a different vacation. And that's one of the things I actually want to highlight later on in the podcast is my dumb travels. Like one of my favorite, two of my favorite travels. One of my favorite travels was traveling to Morocco, and we went to Casablanca, and we went into the Sahara Desert, and we had this three-wheeled sand buggy, and it was big giant wheels with a big giant sand sail, and you sailed across the desert for 7 days. And every night there was a little van that met you, and they would have a traditional Moroccan tent, and you would eat the food, and but during the day you just sailed across, and the wind would just take you and sail you across the desert, you know. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And then my other favorite trip was in Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia. You flew over there. The most expensive part of the trip was the flight, but when you got there, you got to rent these these jeeps. They were Japanese Isuzu Suzuki jeeps, one of the two, and they load you up with everything, and then you literally just went out into the Gobi Desert and just drove. You would go through mud, you would go through sand, you would go through everything. You just drove, and they would just have pinpoints on the map, a little GPS, and they'd be like, just be here at night. And then you'd go, you'd be there at night. They have a yurt set up for you, and they'd cook you traditional Mongolian food, and you'd eat and get up the next morning, go for more drive, and you just fucking drive through the desert.
That is freaking awesome.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I love trips like that. We took a trip up in the Olivet National Park. It's one of the most northern islands in Canada. I think it's the fifth largest island in Canada, or maybe the world. One of the two. But it's this really cool island, and they drop you off by plane. You have a kayak, and you have all your shit. You get in this kayak, and you kayak down this river in the Olivet National Park for about 4 days. Every night you pull off yourself, you set up your own camp. You hope polar bears don't get you. But you see the largest musk oxen herd in the world. You see these freaking awesome seals and everything everywhere. You just kayak all the way down. When you get to the end, you stay in this really cool little, like, what do you call them? Like a hotel, but it's a like a little lodge.
Yeah.
You stay in this little lodge at the end of the night or at the end of your little thing. And then when you're done, then the plane flies in there and takes you home. But that's like 5 days of just kayaking. I mean, so many cool trips if people just open their eyes and be like, oh, there's more than just being a tourist. You can be a tourist of the world, not just, you know, this bystander. You can actually go and experience the world. And that's one of the big things I wanted to do, too, is I had this show planned with a friend of mine. It was going to be Semper Fi and the other guy, because I was Army and he was Marine. So Semper Fi and I was the other guy. And it was going to be Semper Fi and the other guy's Idiot's Guide to the World. But then they did that show, An Idiot's Guide to the World or something like that. And I was like, oh, we kind of lost that. I mean, all kinds of different things you can do. Oh, well, that was loud. The puppy dropped her bone. She wants back out. But anyways, yeah, so I mean, I've always experienced or thought of life as an experience. You know, I've always lived by the motto, life is something you live. You don't let life live you.
Yeah.
You know, like you're doing the perfect thing. You're living life. Go ahead. Yeah. She's whining. But yeah, so life has always been something that you have to live. You know, you don't let life live you. Like you're living life. You're going for your PA. You're doing something you love. You're with a person you love. You're experiencing the world. You're not letting Portland hold you back because you want to stay here. You're going to Nevada to finish this thing. When you're done, you're going to either come back here, you're going to go to LA, you're going to go to New York. You're going to do something with your life, which is awesome. I just say...
Ooh, New York would be a jump. I've been to New York.
You know, New York was the first place that they had
that PAs. Is an entirely different universe.
Oh, I know.
Like,
I know. I
not live even Boston. Different city is a universe. Oh,
it's a universe. Yeah. But, you know, New York is the first place they had PAs.
I did not know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I knew that because of the Army. So, PAs were invented kind of Army-ish or military. But it was New York.
She needs to go potty.
She's not wanting to.
Keep her out here for at least 5 minutes.
All right. That's Maddie being a Maddie. But yeah. So yeah. So New York was the first place. And then the first online school they had for like nursing and stuff was I can't remember this. Excelsior College Nursing for military members who wanted to become nurses or anything and go online. It's the only one that's accredited for the military. So it was a lot of, I mean, they do a lot of stuff in New York. They have a lot of programs like that.
Yeah. Well, PA role, I'm excited for.
I'm thinking you're going to be a great PA.
Like I said, I'd honestly like to be here back in the Pacific Northwest, whether it's Washington, whether it's Oregon. And
I think once you're done, I think you'll end up back here somewhere.
Yeah, and you know what? Ever since you told me about that PAs, I can't remember if it was you or elsewhere, but if you were to get a PA license here in the United States or just go through a PA program here in the United States, that it's also acceptable here, also acceptable in New Zealand to get?
I think it is. I'm not sure. I know they just started, or I don't know when, but yeah. I know they started accepting PAs.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have PAs now. They don't have a lot of them. Mm-hmm. They were wanting nurse practitioners, but now they are accepting PAs from what I understand. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that would be an awesome option, and I'm excited for the future in there.
I think you're going to do great at it.
In that field. So, yeah, man. Hope you come and visit back in Nevada. My puppy's being a butthead. It's okay. I hope you come visit in Nevada.
Oh, I'm definitely coming to visit.
And I would love to be back here in the Pacific anytime Northwest, you guys come. Whether it's Oregon, Washington, and I'd definitely reach out to you, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, this has been an amazing episode. It's been awesome. I've had a great time. How about you?
Wonderful time, yeah. Man. Can't wait to be back.
Yeah, I can't wait to have you back. So thank you guys, everybody out there for listening. This is A Beer with Friends. We've been drinking sake. We had sushi, and my little dog is going wild. We're going to end it now, and thanks again. Remember to like us on Facebook, subscribe on Spotify, anchor.fm, and... Ryan's over here smashing his glass.
Celebrating.
But, yeah. Follow us and listen for more. And remember to listen for all the music. All right. Later, guys. Well, it's been one hell of a ride here at A Beer with Friends, hasn't it? We just about covered everything. It's been an amazing journey, and we were so glad to have you here along for the ride. And if you like the show, remember to listen into upcoming episodes you're bound to love. And remember to give us a like and follow us on Spotify, Anchor FM, Facebook, Instagram, and more. And drop us a line with all your comments, whines, concerns, bitches, moans, groans, and complaints to abeerwithfriends@gmail.com. Again, that's abeerwithfriends@gmail.com. And as always, later, bitches.